You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 10th, 2019. It's 60 degrees outside, which means it's summer in San Francisco.
Everybody, this is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless podcast about video games.
Yeah.
It's summertime.
Woo!
4th of July. I've been spending it inside watching Stranger Things. How have you been celebrating summer, George?
That's basically right, yeah. Halfway through the season.
What else have I been doing? Again, avoiding the sun. Trying to prevent my child from getting woken up by random ass fireworks going off.
Nice.
That's the summer, baby.
I went to Portland and took a beekeeping class.
Yeah. Wait, what's the official name? What is a beekeeper? There's like
heroes,
some...
guardians of our planet, Scott, I believe is the proper term.
What's the weird Latin word for beekeeper?
Fucking...
They didn't teach you this shit.
No, dude. No, we didn't talk about this before the show, by the way. But this beekeeping
class. No, this is off the cuff, people.
Off the cuff bees. This beekeeping class, wild. Highly recommend. Listeners, if you're out there and you have the opportunity to learn about bees, strong recommend. So, fun fact.
Apiarists.
Apiaries. That's right. Yes, yeah. Because he was like, oh, this is my home apiary.
Yeah.
Somebody asked him how many bees he thought he had, because he probably had 60 hives or something. 60 hives. Uh-huh. And he was like...
Is hive the unit of bee?
Unit of bees, yeah. But different hives are different sizes. So it was okay. Fair question. And the guy was like, probably about 10 million bees.
What?
Yeah, he had a ton of bees. And fun fact, Portland recently had a tornado, hashtag climate change, and the tornado was...
Was it a tornado of bees? The 10 million bees?
Oh, I wish. So it almost was, because it was at a public park, and a tree fell down, and that tree had a bee's nest in it, and they called that guy over, and he took the bees. And literally the day we were there...
Call the bee man.
Yeah, the day that we were there visiting, learning about beekeeping, he was like, come see my tornado bees. I'm checking on the queen to see if the queen's still alive. Bonkers, yeah, man. Also, his wife is allergic to bees.
Oh my god, this is a fucking... Are you sure this wasn't a fucking Archer subplot or something?
It was pretty great. Apparently his wife got stung by a bee the day before their wedding, and he had to put the ring finger on her pinky finger because the rest of her hand was too swollen.
What?
Yeah.
So, what? I have so many questions here. Okay, two questions, then I'll cut myself off.
Yes.
One. Was the class around harvesting honey or just being a bee warg?
It was all of the whole process of keeping bees and then taking that sweet, sweet nectar that they just put in. They put in all that work, they're just hustling for that honey, and then you just take it right out from under them.
Second, did he have any bee stunts? Could he make a bee beard for himself or anything?
I almost asked. I was like, can you cover my face in bees so that I can take an Instagram picture? I don't think he would have been inclined to do so.
Third bonus question. Is he familiar with the movie The Wicker Man?
Man, I missed so many good opportunities to ask him if he'd seen the bee movie.
I mean, it's probably better that way because you would have just been... banned from the beekeepers union or whatever you need to do to get into the inner circle.
I mean, next time you're in Portland or I'm in Portland, just stop by his house. You can't miss it. It's literally humming with bees.
You can't miss it. It's a gigantic hive.
It's one huge hive. Summertime.
Whew, summertime. Well, I found an article by our friends over at Esquire. Yeah, we're getting classy this week.
I associate Esquire with cocktail recipes and men's clothing.
Yeah, and every once in a while, a really dire article about climate change or something. It goes back and forth between what kind of briefcase I should be carrying and why smallpox is coming back.
Yeah, and what secret government documents you should be keeping in that satchel.
Right. But this time they put a fun list together they had some of their staff put together the 10 best summer video games.
Love this.
Classic. I mean, it was meant for me to click on it, and goddammit, I clicked on it. And now here it is. It has become a podcast.
What is this list?
I mean, that's the funny thing, where it was just kind of like this general, you know, hey, games that you have either an affinity for or a connection to.
See,
summertime gaming.
You can tell that this isn't done by professionals, because the problem, right, is that they had fun with this. They put together a fun little list, you know, like they probably like passed around a notebook in their office and asked people, what are some great summer video games?
Yep.
I feel like the moment it falls into our hands, it's like,
we savagely rip it apart.
Define summer. Does that start? Exactly. Does that start in July? Like, what are we talking? Yep. Is it schools out summer? Like, are we fiscal year? What are we talking about here? Are we looking at games that came out during the summer?
Yes.
Are we looking at games to be played during the summer?
I'll throw out a definition out there that is gaming specific, but also season specific. Also, by the way, highly Northern Hemisphere biased article. If you're in Australia or Brazil or something, you're like, these what the fuck? It's winter.
Yeah, these are technically winter games.
So I'm just saying, you know, the global northern conspiracy continues.
You know what? Also, before you get too far into it, shocking to me that Mario Summer Olympics games are not in here.
I mean, that's a whole nother thing. We should talk about some of the omissions here, because I will posit that for us Northern Hemisphere gamers, I consider summer not just in the months or just, you know, for the sake of this article, but for my life. I consider that summer starts post E3.
I think that, okay. Yeah.
Once E3 happens, it's officially summer. It's like a fucking Groundhog's Day.
I am almost halfway through my life expectancy, and I still think that summer means summer vacation from school.
You're like, man, the summer vacation is taking a long time to get here this year. I wonder what's happening.
Yeah, it's still not around. To me, when I'm thinking, well, what is a summer game? It is a game that is meant to be played in the frivolous days where the sun is out for a very long time and it's too hot outside. Mm-hmm. So you're playing some video games. Or you just want to play some video games like me, you know?
I agree. I will also say that just getting even more into it, I think there is something about games that are either multiplayer focused or not necessarily narrative focused. And I think one of the reasons why I'm saying that is because there is something to be said about when a game is released. And we can probably like get into that a little bit more. But like maybe we should throw some slings and arrows at this top 10 list.
You know that commercial that Nintendo put out for the Switch where there's all these like millennials on a rooftop being like, ha 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 ha.
Oh yeah, that's how I play my Switch all the time. Not in a cramped train when I'm hoping that no one is looking at me.
Yeah, that commercial encapsulates what summer video games should be.
Right, that's the platonic ideal of a summer video game.
All right, so let's get into their list. We'll blast through this pretty quick. Yeah. Yay or nay on some of these.
Yeah.
Number 10, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
I don't understand this whatsoever.
Really? I'm down. Yeah. It's a fun party game, you know, like one person puts on the VR goggles.
I guess
other people are yelling at him.
It seems like one VR goggles immediately is like to me. The other thing is like summer games are about accessibility.
Yeah,
and it's about,
it's accessible. You don't need everybody to have VR. You know, only one person needs VR.
Even so, two of the biggest gaming people we know, i.e., us, neither one of us has home VR setup. So
you
it's
don't
like,
even need VR. You could play this on any Steam usable device.
That is true. We have played it together without VR, just the two of us. But I think there is something. I don't know. This just strikes me as like a weird pick. I know it's a kind of like a rowdy game if you have more people, but it just seems like something that should include more folks other than, I guess you could make it include more folks if you like pass around the instructions or whatever, but it was a funny thing for me to see. All right. Also, I hadn't thought about this game for a while and I remember how fun it was playing.
Yeah, deep cuts. Number 9, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled.
Also, see, this is where I start getting conspiratorial because this fucking thing just came out and it's like, how could you possibly say that this is like a, I mean, is this like
fucking
an instant
Crash
classic?
Team Racing?
Yeah, also Crash Team Racing. Come on, what are you doing?
But Mario Kart's not on here?
Yeah.
Come get some snack. Fortnite, number 8.
So Fortnite, my first response was, what the fuck? And my second response was, you know what? I'm just out of touch.
No.
For millions of kids out there, their summer is like just carte blanche Fortnite.
Well, this is fucking Esquire. What 12-year-old is reading this?
I mean, a sophisticated 12-year-old. He has a bolo or whatever.
Yeah. And a fishing boat.
Yeah.
I mean, Fortnite's an all-year-round thing, you know? Like
Fortnite's a way of life.
Yeah, like just because the kids are on summer vacation and they can play more Fortnite doesn't mean that Fortnite is quintessentially a summer game.
But I think this goes back to our definition problem, which is I would be fascinated to see the traffic numbers for Fortnite once, you know, June rolls around and kids aren't in school anymore, you know?
Yeah, but that's also true of, like, you know, movies. But kids still watch movies in, like, December.
Yeah, but I think there's something... It's something different in that this movie exists all year round. But yes. It requires just... The key component to enjoying this thing is time. Whether it's trying to complete all the battle passes or just getting online with your friends or streaming it or whatever. And it feels like summer is the time where people just have that expansive block in their schedule to do it.
Fair.
I don't know because I don't play Fortnite. I'm just assuming that if I'm out of school and I'm 11, I am trying to be on Fortnite as much as possible.
Okay, I will concede Fortnite. Number 7, Wave Race.
Wave Race, man, what a nostalgic blast for the past from yours truly.
I like this one. That works. I'm fine with that.
I see Wave Race I always associate with like a fall or winter thing because that's when I got it. You know, like when it was a launch title for the N64, so I remember playing it in the fall and winter because it was one of the two N64 games that I had because those were the only two that were out.
Yeah, back in 1996. I mean, it's still a summery game though.
I mean, I think the aesthetic of
wild.
It. Yeah, exactly. It's very, there's nothing quite, I feel like Nintendo hasn't done much like this or really any, you know, the jet ski genre didn't take off maybe the way that they thought it would, but it is very summery.
Indeed. Number 6, Vacation Simulator.
I've never played this game.
Yeah, me neither. It actually also came out this year. I mean,
Job Simulator makes sense.
Yeah.
But also, this is also a weird thing. Like VR, I think this is a primarily single player game.
Yep. Number 5, Mario Party 2. Not the first Mario Party, not even the most recent Mario Party.
Side note, I'm shocked that people can distinguish between Mario Parties.
Yeah, they're all the same to me.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure there are differences here and there, and trained Mario Partyologists are probably really grimacing right now, but why two?
what I don't get is, if going back to the accessibility thing, who's busting out their N64? You know, like June 13th comes around, time to bust out my N64 and get Mario Party 2 started.
I mean, this seems like a nostalgic pick where if you're thinking back to, you know, what it was back in the day, you know, this is a summer game of yore that you have fond memories for.
I guess.
But I mean, I think that Mario Party just in general is a great example of the summer game aesthetic, which is they are
a frivolous party game.
Exactly. Frivolous party game, long, because it takes forever to play those stupid games. Yep. And also just maybe actually this is a negative about summer games. It just seems to, you know, this combined with the hot weather, combined with the longer stretches of boredom for people, this just seems like a recipe for fights.
Yep.
People stealing stars from each other left and right. Like, it seems like a social interaction type of game for people with a lot of time on their hands.
You play this at the end of your summer party when people are drunk and, like, attacking each other.
And you want people to go home, so you bust out Mario Party.
This game sucks. I'm leaving Scott's party.
Whew, finally, I can go to sleep.
Number 4, the Jackbox Party Pack.
I've never played this, but I've always thought it was a fun idea.
They're great. I think that's a really fun game. That actually totally works for summer party. A lot of them you can play on mobile as well, like connected to your TV. So, yeah, I think that's a good call.
Didn't they have that one where they made T-shirts? Like, one of the mini games was making T-shirts, and then you could order the T-shirts?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great idea, though. Yeah. I mean, Drawful and like those types of like the silly word games.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that really stand out to me.
The one that I liked was the rap battle one. I thought that was very funny.
Or even You Don't Know Jack, right? Like that's a classic trivia game that I think totally works as like a summer reporter game.
Yep. Yeah.
Number three, Rock Band.
Classic, yes. I mean, I remember countless nights at your guys' old house where we would play Rock Band.
That's true. But nobody has that shit in their house anymore, so I don't know.
That is true. It's, in a weird way, it's kind of a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
I wonder, when's the last time you played Rock Band? Like, was it before we all got rid of our shit? Or, like, have you ever played at someone's house since then?
I played it at Gen Con 2 years ago. Oof. Yeah, there was like a Rock Band room, which was like so weird. And people would come and play, and people would just sit there and like listen to other people playing Rock Band. It was cool. I mean, it was a totally weird experience, but it was cool.
It's like a karaoke thing.
I saw a Rock Band setup at Half Price Books the other day and was like, should I? No, I should not.
Were they like, please, if you buy a book, we will give this thing to you. Get it out of our store.
No, it was like weirdly expensive. It was like $30 for, I think, the drum kit and the guitar.
What?
Yeah. I was like, come on, really?
Was it in mint condition? Did you ask if you could just take it for a spin real quick?
It was definitely not in mint condition. In fact, I want to say it was a Guitar Hero setup.
Ooh, a classic one.
So, I don't know.
I think that sort of stuff is really cool. I have fond memories of that, even though that is a genre that is just kind of, you know, not a huge thing anymore. But I do have fond memories of. And again, it's one of those things where there's no real story to it. It's super repetitive. It's inherently social. It's one of those things that you have when you have people with time on their hands.
Yep. Number two, I think, fits that bill also. And that's Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Oh, man. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 is a great game for any time of year.
That's definitely true. But it for me, like, that is a great summer game because that's definitely when I spent the most time playing it. Because that's the type of game that can be frivolous, but you can also invest quite a bit of time trying to just get better.
Yeah. Well, and also that was of the era where there was just a laundry list of tasks to do in every video game where it's like collect skate, now grind 17 ramps, now try jump over the cop car. Like, it was just a list of things to like do in 2 minute increments. Watch out,
Ben Madrera is coming to get you.
Look out, he's playing Superman by Goldfinger again. Like, it's just like it's one of those things that I can remember, you know, the hours melt away in 2 minute increments as you make these like successive Tony Hawk runs.
Yep. And number one, the best summer game of all time, Wii Sports Resort.
This is so crazy.
I mean it's not even like Mario Kart I would probably put first if I were to follow their logic.
Yeah. I mean, this is another thing where, like, again, actually, whoa, I didn't even, sorry, this didn't compute for me until now. This isn't Wii Sports. This is Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah.
What?
And it says, if there ever was a possibility of perfecting perfection, this was it. So the perfect game. I mean, take that, Breath of the Wild.
In your face, Tetris.
Yeah. So.
Do you remember playing Wii Sports Resort?
I do. But I mean, I guess maybe it's like the dongle, or maybe I just remember playing Wii Sports.
Yeah, I definitely remember Wii Sports, but again, Wii Sports in my mind is linked up with the fall and winter of that year because that's when the Wii came out and everyone was playing tennis or whatever.
Dude, this article was wild. Like, listen to this sentence. The experience was completed with the Wii Motion Plus extension. Did what? Like, who threw in the extra money for that?
I mean, I think this was the game that came with it. If I recall correctly, I think this was the game that packed in the extension. Man, I wonder if I have that little... It was such a weird thing. It was like a little block on the end of a Wiimote. I must have that somewhere in one of my boxes in my house.
I'm sure I threw it out.
All right. I'm sure. It's like just decrepit box of Wiimote extensions in a landfill somewhere.
Enough with this list. Let's come up with better options. What are our best summer games?
Smash 1.
Smash Brothers 1.
Smash Brothers 1, baby.
I'm aligned with that. And I'm going to add Dive Kick to this.
Oh, yeah.
Because these are fighting games that are accessible, that anybody can play, but aren't super serious. Or rather, they aren't super serious until you start taking them very seriously.
They're not super serious until they get deathly serious.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
How about you?
I'm going to name one that's new. Okay. And that's just because I think we have to admit that this, and this is, I'm shocked it's not on the list. And that's Pokemon Go.
Oh, whoa, or I didn't the new, think about
or
phone
HP
games.
Wizards Unite, right? Like, sure, I mean, phone games, whatever, but these are two games where people literally go out when it's really nice out, and yep. they go out in groups, and they hunt Pokemon or fucking whatever you do in HP Wizards Unite, like fucking shoot muggles or something, right?
you're rounding up muggles.
into your muggle camps. That to me seems like the most modern version of what a summer game is, you know? Like, you want to do it when it's nice outside. You actually go and get outside. It's a game that you can play outside. That's super cool.
I will say, on a side note for those two games, it's impressive to me that, one, Pokemon Go continues to be super popular. Like, I routinely, like, I don't know, once a week or so, I see a group of people all standing around in a weird circle with their phones, with external battery packs connected to their phones, because that game sucks up battery like nobody's business. And there's a lot of people. Like, it's like a dozen or more people.
Yep.
And then the other day, I was in the Pete's Coffee that's near my house, and one of the baristas was giving someone shit for playing Harry Potter Wizards Unite, saying that they only catered to Pokemon Go fans at this Pete's location. And I was like,
whoa, oh, what? Man. They're just throwing down at that, like, this is Pokemon territory.
Exactly. They were like, hey, this is, I forget what the Harry Potter
version of a Pokestop
equivalent
is,
but they were like, hey, this is a Poke Gym, not a Harry Potter thing. And I was like, oh, snap, beef. But it was a hilarious thing. Like, it's impressive to me that those games not only persist, but also there seems to be room for two of them.
Yeah. I don't play them, but I'm sure people are having a ball in the summer.
Yes. Let me posit one for you, because I never really got into it, but would you consider World of Warcraft a summer game?
Oh man, that's a life game, my friend. That's a forever game. I mean, there's a part of me that says, yeah, I mean, we should pick a game that you invest a ton of time in, because from my perspective, associating summer with more free time, those are the types of games that you can really chew into, you know, take you a long time, and they're still social.
Right.
But they'll make you feel more alone if all your friends are like, oh, sorry, I can't raid tonight, I'm out doing fun things in the summer weather.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's like, is this one of the things where the ability to raid is helped by people potentially not being in school or taking longer work vacations, or are they trying to actually go outside?
Yep, fair. You know,
Do most of your raiding in the summer, or was this were you more of a Winterfell type guy?
I was very much an all year round raider. Okay. I was
an evergreen,
serious, Scott.
Wow.
Please, I'm not some casual raiding. I know, yeah, absolutely, all year round for me. But you know what I will say, though, on that track of spending a lot of time, that's where I would throw RPGs in the ring as summer contenders. For the ones that are a bit more themed around that idea, and the two that come to my mind are any of the Persona series, like Persona 3 or 4, you know, where that it's like, oh, it's summertime and the kids are spending time outdoors with each other, or Earthbound, you know, which is also like a sort of kids adventure kind of thing. So,
yeah. I could see that. I mean, and that's the, I feel like also like that was the time where you would replay something, because you had this like unbroken stretch, and it's like, oh, I'm going to do another run through Final Fantasy VII or something like that.
Yep, totally. I also have a replacement for Mario Party that I think is a better summer game, and that is Ape Escape.
Oh.
Do you think that's better?
I mean, Ape Escape is fundamentally a better game, yes, but is it a better summer game?
I mean, there's monkeys in it. So, yes. Ipso facto, I don't understand the issue here, Scott.
Hey, did you see that rumor that they're going to maybe like remake or at least re-release Ape Escape? Like Sony registered some Twitter account or something that was like a mock Ape Escape thing?
Oh, dude, no one's been sitting on, like, at Ape Escape? Is that...
I forget what the ape's name is. Like, apparently the apes have names, or maybe the lead character or something has a funny name, and someone... Oh, and that had been registered, and it was, like, only following one, or someone from Sony was following it or something like that.
Pipasaur.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's what the internet is telling me right now. Piposar.
So I think that's... Piposaru. Oh, okay. Is that the monkey or is that the person?
I'm going to assume it's the monkey.
I'm going to hope it's the monkey.
I don't know how you say monkey in Japanese. Probably Piposaru is how you say it.
I do... There is something I will say about the aesthetic of that game. It had that early, or I guess it was late era PlayStation 1... super bright, you know, obviously like really high contrast, you know, super jaggy, like that sort of PlayStation look to it that is kind of airy. I could see that.
Yep, for sure.
How about sports games? And I'm not talking about Wii Sports Resort.
You mean like FIFA and Madden?
I don't really play FIFA, but the people that I know that casually play video games, if they go to one, it is often FIFA.
Yeah, those are great, especially during those seasons, though.
Yeah.
And what's in season right now?
You mean like, I imagine there's probably a fair amount of FIFA being played because the Women's World Cup just wrapped up.
That's true.
Recently.
USA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know. But I mean, that's an any time of the year thing, though.
I played Super Nintendo sports games a lot. Growing up in the summer, because again, you know, my brother and I had more free time, and so instead of playing something narratively driven, you know, like Metal Gear Solid or something, we would just have more time on our hands to like play a bunch of baseball games back to back.
Yep.
And so I do associate some of that stuff with more of a summertime season.
I would say more than sports games, Sports Friends, the game.
Oh, man.
In fact, the specific game, and I don't think anyone can play this, because now we're back in the Rock Band territory, where unless you have a bunch of PlayStation Move controllers, you can't really play it as God intended.
Yeah.
But Johann Sebastian Joust.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have to basically hold your Move controller like a candle. You can play with candles, by the way. If you're okay getting hot wax all over you and your friends, you can play this with a candle.
Hey, I'm not going to judge.
And you have to basically try to knock other people's controllers or candles out while you keep yours in. That's sort of like fun, physical, outdoorsy game. That seems perfect for me. And really any of the Sports Friends games. Nidhogg was also on my list. Like, just the really extremely wacky competitive games that very specifically have really quick rounds, you know? Because what you don't want to get into is something like FIFA could last a while, right? Like that, even if it's just you two people playing or even four people playing, if you're having friends over for like a summer barbecue or something, busting out the games that are over in like literally 30 seconds, like Towerfall Ascension or speaking of bees, Scott, Killer Queen, you know?
Oh, man.
Like those are great summer games because they can fit a lot of people or just a few people and then they're over super fast.
I mean, one, we could argue that the arcade itself is like the venue for all of this stuff. You know,
that's
I mean, like
very
it was
true.
It was so much easier to go out to like, you know, the mini golf, you know, the mini golf arcade or the theater or the movie theater arcade at a time like that. And so you have these associations like in the summer, I just inherently played more Time Crisis.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I just had more time to go to the movie theater.
I did play Time Crisis in Portland. When I wasn't looking at bees, I went to a beer arcade, of which there's a couple, like pinball stuff. So yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
How are your Time Crisis skills after all these years?
Not good. Not good. I did feel pretty good around pinball, though. But you know what? The arcade is a great one because it's also something that you did as a kid to escape the heat, you know, because it would be air conditioned generally inside.
Yep. Okay, so before we wrap up, what is your prediction for this year's summer jams when it comes to video games?
Oh my god. Like the game to play this summer. I mean, what's hot shit right now? Like Teamfight Tactics? Auto chess games?
Yeah, anything auto chess? No, I'm running away from that shit as fast as possible. But I'll throw out an early contender of Super Mario Maker 2.
That's a great summer game. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially because you can download the levels that players create and then pass them around to your friends and mock them for their inability to complete them.
Or if you really want to enrage your friends, you can try to create a level together, and the conflict that will stem from that will clear people out of your house as well.
Summer challenge, Scott. we should each design a summer-themed Mario Maker level.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'll just, I'm going to start just spamming the fucking angry sun to my heart's content right now.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like
actually,
it.
Actually, that is a good idea. Okay, we'll do a summertime.
Summertime Mario thing. Maker level. Yeah. Going back to Auto Chess real quick, though, I actually do think, from a summer perspective, doesn't require a huge amount of thought. Games are over pretty fast.
Yeah.
It feels like it could be up there. You know, we could be
talking
about
this. Do you have a front runner for Auto Chess?
Dude, they're all the fucking same to me. I have no idea what's going on. I honestly played one game of Auto Chess tonight before we were recording because I was like, maybe I'll talk about it on the show today. Yeah. I did not understand it. I had to look up a YouTube video. I feel really dumb. I'm over it.
Because there's a lot of them now. There's the Dota one. There's a League one. I think there's like one or two other kind of like tangent ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I truly don't understand it. Let me see if there's anything else. I don't know if the, I really do think that for some reason, for whatever reason, I do gravitate towards things that are not narrative-driven things.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's just a function of people tend to, for whatever reason, put out their prestige narrative experiences in the fall. Like you generally don't get a Mass Effect in July or something.
Although honestly, and also we should. I would just, you know, actually play it.
I mean, you do have more time, but at the same time, like there are just days where it's a long weekend or have you. People are over here for a party, and there are like there's a more social game type element to it.
If Spelunky 2 had come out already, I would list that high on the list.
Oh my god, I mean, but I feel like that falls into the trap of the perennial game. I mean, that's like. Can you imagine how much of that game we're going to play when it comes out?
That's true. But there's something to say.
Does it have a release date yet?
I think it's next year or late this year.
Okay.
Yeah. But in either case, that is the type of game, though, that I think if it were to release in the summertime, you have this unique opportunity where a lot of people can play it if they've got a bit more free time on their hands. Certainly, like people still in school. And totally. Get that like communal experience where everyone's playing it and talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Well, I think that wraps it up for summer games. Even though we talked some mess about this top 10 list, it was a good discussion. And again, I'm having to face my own biases towards Fortnite, which helps me grow as a person.
It's very true. Yeah.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our hive of episodes. Buzz on over and listen to some past podcasts.
They don't let you have the bees.
It's like honey in the ears.
Oh, God, gross.
Gross. Why'd you put honey in my ear?
No, not the bees. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Have a good summer.